Senator Woodson, Representative Barry, members of the committee, I know it's late in the afternoon, so I'm going to keep my remarks brief, but I think I can answer a number of your questions that have come up this afternoon. My name is Jeff Thaler. I live in Yarmouth. For the last 9 years since the inception of the university's offshore wind program, I've been its legal counsel, both while I was at Bernstein Shore and for the last 6 years as in-house counsel for the university. In that capacity, I've been overseeing all of the environmental regulatory reviews throughout the projects, I say projects plural, including the small-scale one, as well as the Public Utilities Commission on the term sheet, so I can answer questions that came up on those. It's been a long day for you. I know you have more people to speak, so I'm just going to make three basic points, but also try to quickly respond to some of the things that have come up this afternoon that may be somewhat inaccurate. First, there was, as you've heard, a rigorous, lengthy siting process driven by state law by this legislature that led to the designation of Monhegan and two other test sites. And in that process, which I've given you the memorandum of the Department of Conservation, it says on page 4 that they considered, in part, full-scale test facilities in state waters within 3 miles of shore, because, as you know, state waters have to be 3 miles. So there was no bait and switch. It was known during the siting process from the very beginning. Secondly, the legislation that authorized the test sites and the general permit in Title 38 authorized in each test site up a cable sized up to 25 megawatts, so and only up to 3 turbines. So if you have 3 turbines, 25 megawatts, you're talking even larger scale turbines potentially was envisioned by the legislature than what the university is now proposing. The siting process, I'll let you look at the memo, but it evaluated and it had both state and federal agencies involved. There were numerous public sessions going up and down the coast. They evaluated literally the entire 3,478-mile coastline of the coast of Maine, fourth longest in the United States. And as part of that, and it was focused on state waters, they ended up with the 3 test sites, including Monhegan. The second thing is I want to mention I also teach at the law school, so I have to mention the separation of powers, the judiciary, the legislature, and the executive branch, because I think you're being put in a position of having to do the work that's either already been done or is ongoing by the other two branches right now, as well as what's going on in Monhegan, as you've heard. I've given you 24-page court decision from Justice Helm rejecting a challenge to the Monhegan test site. And the third thing is that ongoing right now, contrary to what the Council for the International Lobsters Union said, is ongoing a NEPA process, scoping process. The folks on Monhegan and in Port Clyde and on the mainland just had public scoping sessions. So this project is being evaluated for its environmental impacts at the state level. There will be some local reviews and as well as at the federal level. Happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. I do have a question. Regarding the 8-year retroactivity that's in this bill, can you just, if we were to enact the bill as it's presented to us, what consequences might that bring?
Well, Representative Rikerson asked that question earlier, and it was a very good question, and I do mention it in my testimony, but in the interest of time, didn't address it, but I will now. I know I'm familiar with Section 302. I'm familiar with the vested rights doctrine, which relates to it. I'm familiar with a number of the bills and laws that have had retroactivity provisions, as well as local ordinances, because I've been involved in some of those. One of the early ones was in Auburn, where they tried to retroactively change their ordinance to prevent a store from being built. And so 8 years is by far the longest I've ever heard of a retroactivity clause. I'm not aware of anything of that length ever being upheld in the state of Maine or in court. So that's one thing I would say. Secondly, I'm not going to – you've heard from other people about what kind of message that would send. But if you think about it, if any law that the legislature passes in which people then invest and rely on and spend money – could 8 years, after 8 years of reliance, be retroactively changed, then why would anybody put their money in that if they can't, for 8 years, know that somebody down the road is going to change the rules of the game in the, not even the ninth inning, but probably even later. So that's just a policy issue. But that's some of the things the courts have been concerned about. And on the vested rights is how much reliance has there been? Here, as you've heard, there have been millions of dollars spent already in governmental money studying the site, investigating it, doing the outreach. The Department of Energy was out here and scoping. And the Monhegan people have invested not only some of their money, but also their time in this. So the 8 years is a big issue. And in my experience, and I've been practicing in Maine since 1979, far longer than anything I've ever encountered.
How does that question interplay with the 2010, or I guess it was the 2011 decision by Justice
Helm?
Helm, thank you.
Now on the Supreme Court, State Supreme Court.
Yeah, do those things interact in any way, those two questions?
Well, I guess what I would say is this, is that under the law, under the Administrative Procedures Act, one normally has 30 days from final agency action to bring a challenge in court. If you wait longer than 30 days, that final agency action is final. And so here, basically what you're talking about, again, is coming 7, 8-plus years later and trying to do what you can't do in court. And it has already been rejected in court. And the rejection in court, by the way, and when you get a chance to look at the decision, because there's been questions about impacts on the economic impacts, fisheries impacts, bird impacts, everything else, all that's discussed in the court opinion, because all of that was considered in the siting process by the state and federal and other agencies.
Okay. I'm going to give one more quick question. I hope it's a quick one. I think the Audubon Society may have asked for an enhanced environmental assessment. If I'm not sure I have the phrasing correct, but is there some sort of environmental assessment for bird flight generally, and what is
environmental
that?
Assessments? There is the short answer is an environmental assessment will take into account not only bird issues, bat issues, marine mammal issues, fishery issues, socioeconomic issues, historic impact issues. All of those will be covered in a multiple 100-page report that will be provided as a very public process and a public document. The other thing I say, as I say in my written testimony, is that we have to get multiple permits for this project. And I think the question came up earlier, maybe from Senator Woodsum. We haven't applied for those yet. And same thing with the Public Utilities Commission. We have a term sheet. Somebody mentioned PPA earlier. We do not have a power purchase agreement yet. We will have to go back to the commission, which is their process, after we've negotiated a draft PPA with the staff and Central Maine Power for the commission's review. So that's not final yet, but we're planning to do that, but we have to follow the rules that are set by the legislature and the agencies have a lot of rules.
We're very good at that, yes. Senator Woodsum.
Well, there seems to be a lot of knowns and unknowns here, and is the money that's being invested in SNR research, is it federal money or private money or a combination or what?
It'll be a combination. So there is federal Department of Energy money that we have to compete for and have been competing for. We will have equity investors, so there will be businesses who will be investing in this project. And we have with the power purchase agreement, which the governor's energy person mentioned, yes, there will be ratepayer support. But that was, the PUC didn't do that out of the blue. That was pursuant to law, again, of the legislature that empowered the PUC to conduct a process, a request for proposal process, to do that. And so, again, this is with the thought in mind of, and I should clarify also that, because there's been some known and unknown issues, this is a two-turbine project in the test site. And if there were to be a full-scale project, a commercial-scale project, somebody mentioned a 500-megawatt project, that would be nowhere near the test site. The university has already stated publicly and put in writing that its technology would not be used within 10 miles of Monhegan or any other part of inhabited Maine.
So if the current administration in Washington decides that they don't like wind or this offshore and your money goes away, what happens to the project?
Very good question. We are constantly, and we have bi-weekly calls with the Department of Energy. The funding for not just our project, but one in Ohio, which is still ongoing, and Jake Ward can maybe speak to this more clearly than me, but has been built, you know, people budget 2 years ahead of time, so the cycle. So the budget, we should be safe as long as we meet our milestones with our budgeting with the Department of Energy for the next several years, which should take us through the ability to raise the rest of our capital with equity investment to go forward if we get all of our approvals.
The longer I live, the more I realize that most things can be bought. It has a price.
Except for this building and whoever inhabits it.
I don't know about that either.
I had to say that on the record.
Some people say that you cannot buy the beauty that Maine has, and others say you can, and it has been done. But we have some people in Monhegan who want this to go away, and we have others hoping that it is going to be a salvation to the island and kids' future, et cetera, et cetera. Now, there's no question that if this thing succeeds, there are millions, if not billions, of dollars that's going to be brought out of it. How is Monhegan going to share in that?
Another excellent question. First of all, as several of the Monheganers have mentioned, there's been ongoing discussions of a community benefits agreement. And in the Public Utilities Commission order approving the term sheet, they ordered us, meaning Maine Aqua Ventus, to negotiate with Monhegan either a cable to shore, which would provide them with free power to meet their needs so that they wouldn't be reliant on the 75-cent or whatever it now is kilowatt hour of diesel fuel, and with the fiber optic cable. That was one option. The second would be some alternative community benefits financial package. That's what the community hasn't decided on yet and will be voting on sometime within the next month or 6 weeks when they're ready to do so. So that's one area of benefit. The second area of benefit in the term sheet of the Public Utilities Commission approved, so we've made a commitment, the project, that basically, the building of the project, the operation and maintenance of the project, everything else, that we would make commercially reasonable efforts to hit 50% of the benefits, the money spent on the project would be Maine-based businesses. So that goes far above what most businesses have to commit to or will commit to before they invest in Maine. So you're talking, just on these two turbines, trying to develop jobs and a potential industry base for the future, for children on the mainland as well as on the islands, that if successful, and I take your assumption as well, we hope it will be and we believe it will be successful because of the Castine project, which was successful, same technology, smaller scale, that there will be significant economic and socioeconomic benefits for Maine, as well as help Maine. We export over $6 billion a year to buy our energy from places not from Maine. So the more we could generate using our Maine natural resources, the more we can keep money here.
Seeing no other questions, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Taylor.